Okay, so today we're going to be doing our first element of the series, which will be acceptance. So it will be accepting yourself, accepting your circumstances. Oh my gosh. Anisha!
This is gonna go in there. This is gonna go in like the end of this chapter. We're gonna have a bunch of this just going on.
Okay, so we're gonna be doing the first element of our series, and it will be acceptance. So acceptance of yourself, acceptance of your circumstances, acceptance of others, and acceptance of God. So, yeah.
Yeah.
The first part of our little devotional study today is to open. We're going to actually open with a Bible quote.
Okay.
I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Which is Psalm 139, verse 14. And yeah, that's the opening to accepting yourself.
Okay, yeah, I like that.
So, yeah, we're just gonna kind of go through this. Would you say that you like yourself?
Sometimes.
Do you accept yourself like as you are?
Not as much as I should.
Mm. Do you know that God accepts you as you are?
Yeah.
The journey to a self-acceptance that encompasses your mind, body, and spirit is often empty of glitz and glamour. Having to go down that path feels like it's just draining.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you don't want to have to confront yourself. And already, we're just not confrontational. So on top of that, having to look at yourself and be like, you have flaws,
yeah,
but I accept those flaws. And honestly, okay, so Jatori and I were talking, and he had brought up what is your fatal flaw?
Mm.
And I was like, ooh, that's a real deep question. So Jatori, since you're gonna be watching / listening to this, we're gonna steal your question actually. Mm-hmm. What do you think is your fatal flaw? Because when it was asked, I said I'm very impulsive, and I think that gets me into a lot of issues and problems that I could avoid if I just sat and thought about things first. So what do you think is your fatal flaw?
I think my fatal flaw is judgment.
Mm.
I think it's not even judging others sometimes, it's judging myself as well. I'm very I judge myself, everything I do, I have to make sure it's as perfect as possible. Everything I, how I act sometimes,
yeah,
I have to think about it. And then I'll judge everything I did at that moment,
mm-hmm,
but I can't change, you know?
Yeah.
So it's that's a bit of flaw.
Okay, so then Jatori asked me, that felt Melanie. That felt Melanie.
I love Melanie, guys.
She's so awesome. You'll see Melanie, you will, I'm gonna interview her. We're gonna interview her maybe Friday, Saturday. Because she said weekends work better for her.
Yeah.
So yeah. But the second question was, your fatal flaw gets you into really deep trouble with 5 of your closest people, whether they're friends, family, classmates. But you're in trouble with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you do?
What do you mean?
What would you do to fix this?
To fix it?
Because a simple apology does not work.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I'd have to review my actions,
mm-hmm,
and how I react to certain things, because I am sometimes I don't see it at the moment, and I like to, I'll wait and I'll go back, and I'll think about how I handled this and that, and I'll be and then at that point you have to kind of prove that you're sorry. I feel like sometimes saying sorry, it definitely isn't enough. You have to be, everyone says actions speak louder than words, right? So, you have to really mean that you're sorry. And not that, the whole, not the, oh, I'm sorry that I upset you, or da da da. Sometimes, no, that's not always gonna work. You have to listen to them on, the levels of why they're mad,
mm-hmm,
and then go through every kind of level with them.
I think that's something that I also need to work on. just a little out of it. It seems like I continuously just can't get right. I don't know. And I feel like, I think Kyla had some really good points, because I did talk to Kyla about, like, the fact that I just felt like anytime I enter an argument, I can't regulate it. Mm-hmm. I can't, like, say how I feel about the situation, and then also, like, fully listen to the other person.
Yeah.
So I think, like, because of that, I need to definitely work on, you know, fixing how I go about conflict.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So I think that in this generation, we kind of think that, like, when we say, like, oh, yeah, no, I accept myself, self-acceptance, self-care, per, no, honey, you're doing a topical self-care, you're doing topical self-love, and we're going to talk about what we think is true acceptance of yourself today. So,
oh, okay.
But yeah, so I think that true acceptance talks more so about, like, it's inner work. Knowing who you are and who you belong to. I think that once you know, like, this is everything. Like, once you lay it out flat, like, all the good, all the bad about yourself, and you understand these aspects of yourself, but knowing that you belong to God, and that that love that he has for you continues to, like, stay there regardless of all of that. Even if people have not treated you as a child of God, you still are a child of God, always.
Yeah.
So, it says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, that in Christ you have the power to capture every rebellious thought and teach it to obey him. What do you think of that?
Okay. Sometimes you can think the worst thoughts about yourself, right? Like, you can just tear yourself apart. Mm-hmm. You have to remember that every part that you hate about yourself, God also created, you know? So, like, he made everything that you hate about yourself. So, like, think about it in a way of, like, you're not going to be perfect regardless of what you do. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens, you're not going to be perfect. But you need to accept that fact and hopefully grow.
For me, I think I struggle in this society. Like, a lot of negativity is surrounded, has surrounded just, like, femininity and women in general. But being able to take your thoughts captive and, I think, like, just doing some reflective journaling really helped me. I need to get back into that, because, like, the amount of things, like, I'll, like, just blurt things out, or my mind will just pop up with, like, something that's so negative. I'm like, dude, why are you such a hater? Like, I know I'm a hater. But, yeah, I heard this one poem where it's like, a hater is just a heart that got really mixed up.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you, like, if you go deep in, if you do a deep dive into that one bar, heart and hater have the same letters. Yeah.
Nothing else.
Yeah. So your heart just got mixed up and now it's a hater. But that's not how it should be. So we're going to fix it. I'm going to fix my haters. But yeah. So, like, I think reflective journaling, because, like, just getting it all out there, and being like, no to all of them. And just being able to be like, I know that I think these things about myself, but these things are not my reality. These things are not, like, my destiny. These things are not what God had planned for me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I'm just going to be, like, same way a mom snatches her child up in the middle of a store. That's how I'll snatch up these thoughts. Instead of fixating on, like, bad things, you need to fixate on the good. Like, there's so many things that get overlooked because it's, like, everything else is, like, so terrible. Like, even today, y'all.
Yeah.
So we took a bio test today. Actually, the bio test took us.
It did take us.
But yeah, no, like, I think we focused on that so much today that we like missed out on a bunch of good things. Like we met a puppy and his name was Butternoodle.
So cute.
He was so cute. Like, oh my gosh. Like a little, I think it's like a pit.
I couldn't tell. Like, it was 5 months. It was pretty big 5 months. Or I think that's, I actually don't know.
Was it 5 months or 5 weeks?
It was a tiny, it was like a puppy. It was new.
Yeah.
But it was pretty big.
Yeah. But so cute. It says in Philippians 4, verse 8, that whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, think about such things. Uh-huh. And so I think if we practice thinking these kinds of things actively, like it, at some point it'll just come to us and it won't be negative thoughts that come to mind. So we won't even have to like get our thoughts in order. We don't have to smash nobody up or anything. So yeah, what do you think about the verse? Like, what did you pull from that? And then, like, if you need to read it again, I can.
Yeah, can you read it again?
Whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable, think about such things.
Kind of like piggyback off what you said. Mm-hmm. If you only think negative thoughts, you're going to just hate everything. Like, if you're always negative, you're going to be negative, and people around you are going to sense that, and they're not going to want to be around you. Mm-hmm. You cannot continue to be negative around every single aspect of your life, or you're just going to be like sad. Do you want to be sad the entire time you're living on this earth? I think like, and people like hatred in your heart can stem from different things, you know. But I think at a point you have to realize that like you can be mad at this, this, and that. But it's only hurting you because no one else is going to genuinely care that you're mad. It's only going to hurt you in the end.
Yeah. I think it was Dochi, actually. Sorry, y'all. Like, somehow, some way, I'm going to find a way to connect this to something else that I saw. Mm-hmm. But I think she did an interview with someone and she was struggling with suicidal thoughts because mm-hmm. she was being bullied. And she sat there and she was like, on the brink of tears, and she was just like, yeah, no, like, I realized that if I were to take my life, I would be the only one that died. The girls they would live on, they'd probably bully another girl. The words that they said, they wouldn't die with me. None of that stuff goes away. The only thing that happens is I died, and that's not happening. Like, I'm not letting them beat me like that. And she like said that like God had like watched over her and told her to write, I am Dochi. And now we have the legend, the Grammy winner. I love her. But yeah, no, like, just like small things like that. Like, just sometimes you'll be going through a very bad storm and then you'll just kind of feel like a hand on your shoulder telling you, like, hey, I need you. You are my creation, you are my masterpiece. And I have never made a mistake. I have never made a mistake. So you don't get to erase my masterpiece like that.
No.
I said, no, you are who I say you are. Go off into this world and represent me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't know. That just came up. But I think it's also important to like declutter your mind.
Yeah.
Cause like I said, sometimes thoughts just pop in and out and in and out. And it's like, dude. Or like even decluttering your priorities. Cause I think even us, like yesterday, we said we were gonna do this yesterday.
We did.
And then we ended up playing games.
Yeah.
Like literal games. Sat and we played like taco cat goat cheese pizza.
Yeah.
And
it got very violent.
And it did. It got very aggressive.
Yeah.
We're very competitive in this friend group. So, yeah. But we were studying. We did lock in and study. But then we, like, did not revisit it like we said we would. And so, yeah. It's just, like, we need to get our priorities in order. And I think that with the, like, struggle of balancing school and friendships and faith, it's just, like, okay, wait, like I have to at some point set some time for me, set some time for the Lord, set some time for my grades. And it's just like, it's a lot. It's like everything's fighting for the same spot. And it's like, girl, please please. But yeah, just like getting that in order, just like our priorities. And yeah, you have anything to add?
Not really. I feel like when I was talking to Melanie about it earlier, like she like what the hardest thing for me to like, what was the word? For me to kind of like
turn away from.
Yeah. Or yeah, kind of yeah, my time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cause I always know I'm supposed to do certain things, and sometimes I'm just like so tired that I don't do it, or like I'll like wait up to like the last second to do something, and then like. It's just like doesn't end up as well as I thought it would. So for me, like managing the time that I spend on certain things, mm-hmm. I need to like get that in check because it's getting crazy out here.
It is. Yeah, man. All right, before we start, let's do some prayer. Okay. All right, everybody, by your hand. I can't see you. But bow your head. I don't know if you did it. God will tell me. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, please teach us to take delight in things that are good. Teach us and show us how to be good to ourselves and to others and to tend to our souls when it cries out for you, Lord. Remind us that we were made in your image and that you are one of the most skilled artists, and that we need to understand that we are one of your many, many masterpieces. Thank you for giving us life, Lord. We, as your children, will not take an eraser and try to rub off all the work that you have done on us. Your works are wonderful, and we know that. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. And the people said, amen. All right, y'all. So the first activity, I do have a book quote.
Okay.
You are only able to live in a way that really helps and loves others when your soul feels its worth, which is by John Ortberg. I hope I'm saying that right. John Ortberg, Soul Keeping. It's spelled Ortberg though, like O-R-T-B-E-R-G.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, we're gonna do some soul care.
Okay, yes.
So, I'm gonna ask that you find three practical ways that you can spend time with yourself and your soul. Mm-hmm. And getting them connected. Because I know that recently we both gave our lives to Jesus. She gave her life to Jesus, y'all. She gave it back to him. I was so proud. I was like, so geek. I was like, no, like, you don't understand. You couldn't see me, but like, literally my foot was tapping a little bit while we were standing there and I was praying. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. Yeah. But yeah, congrats to Jalen. Yay! Yeah, so. Think of three practical ways that you can tend to your soul this week.
I think just talking to God alone, like one-on-one sometimes is like really like starts to heal yourself. I think meditation is very good for you. Honestly, just like spending time by yourself. I think spending like occasional just like thinking about aspects of your life and going through what you think you need to change as a person and like applying those two things to your everyday life really do help like heal the soul, as well as kind of like almost forgiving yourself at some points. I think sometimes as humans we like we said earlier, like we just like will hone into like the terrible things that happened, and it's just really kind of like makes your soul kind of like and like you're kind of, you can feel people have like a really angry soul. And so I think like by forgiving certain people and forgiving yourself, it's like that's one of the best ways to heal the soul.
Real. So overcoming negative narratives such as me and my beef with Adam and Eve. Remember, this is the main thing that our inner critic says. And then you're more than welcome to Google a scripture that battles that. Cause yeah. So like What recurring negative thoughts does your inner critic tell you, and how does that affect your life?
Okay, so I've never liked my smile. Mm. I have like a very like when I actually smile, like it's like it's all gums up here. Mm. And so like that's actually why I don't smile in my photos. You probably won't find me photos of me smiling because I don't like seeing myself smile. Mm. And so I
never
usually hide it. Like I'll just like my photos, or I just like, you know, I'll smile but I cover my face with this. That's actually my signature move.
I think I have one picture of you smiling with like just your smile. And it was like because I was taking a video of me and you like peeked at me and just like
yeah. I've just been very like, I think like, yeah, it just always sticks with me. Mm-hmm. So no matter where I go, it's just always gonna be there. Yeah.
Okay. Now you can find a scripture while I tell the people mine. I think truly the main recurring thought that I have is that there's always other people out there that are more advanced in places that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. And like, there's always a better dancer, there's always a better singer, there's always a better there's always a better prayer warrior or something. And I'm just like, I'm never gonna get to that point. And then it like kind of just weighs on me. I'm just like, dude, what am I supposed to do? Like, if I'm never gonna be that good, then like, do I just give up? But I don't want to give up. Yeah. Like, I'll see like even new people that I just met and they're like already like 10 times great at this one thing, and I'm like, I want to be able to be like, I'm just like, yeah. But how can you actively invite God into your thought process to help shift the criticism to affirmations?
I haven't fully mastered this. I still hide my smile in most things. I think in a way it's like I need to think about it in perspective. So like, yeah, I may not like it, but God put in work, he put in so much time to build us, right, into who he wanted us to be. He built man on an image of himself, right? Mm-hmm. So me hating anything about myself is just like a bad, being like a bad like kind of thing, I would say, I guess, onto what God has created. And why would I want to do that? Why would I want to like make something that he's done sound terrible, or make it seem like I'm embarrassed by it? Because I mean, I know it's gonna be hard to kind of get past it. Like, I'm so very, in a way, I'm just very like appearance based, I guess, a lot of the time. And so this one thing really does kind of bother me. It's always nagging, always.
Did you find scripture?
I did find scripture.
You did? Would you like to share with the class?
Okay. Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Samuel 16:7.
How do you interpret that?
I think it, my perspective of it is like, you can be the prettiest person in the world or the most handsome person in the world, but that genuinely will not matter if your heart is ugly. If it's just a nasty place to be, it won't matter in the end. And like, I feel like that's like, you know, like a lot of like nowadays, like a lot of influencers, like they're beautiful and this and that, but their hearts are like so unappealing in a way. Mm-hmm. So it makes you think about like, yeah, like that's how I see it. It's like, because he said he looks at the heart, like he's not looking at your appearance.
Yeah.
And the person, and if you find someone that like a group of friends or like people you just like you love in general, they won't look at that. They're not looking at that. They're looking at what, like your personality or how you act. That's what they like about you. That's what they're there for. And if they're not there for that, then they shouldn't be there at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think for me inviting God into my thought process this week and just like in general, just inviting him to show me like he's actively working on everyone, and it's just a matter of how much effort I put into it, how much effort that I continue to pour into these things. I just think I understand that like I was telling, I think it was that Connect group, how I understood how God's name means I am. Mm-hmm. And I have a shirt that's like, Yahweh means the great I am. And every time I say that I am something, God's like, oh, you said what? Okay. You said you're sick? Now you're sick. Now what?
Now what about it?
Now what? And I feel like the more I say I am not something, he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take that right on back then, I guess. But yeah, I just feel as though by inviting him to be like, just to show me reminders of like, this is who you are, this is who I created you to be, and the quicker you understand that, the quicker you won't feel like this. Because there's just moments of like, you can feel him being like, you got this, you know? But another thing, I just feel like if even like no one else is choosing us, God chooses us.
Yeah.
Maybe even no one recognizes us, he recognizes us. And even when we feel like we're just not doing great, he's like, you got this. Like, he's cheering for you all the time. He's like, that's my kid! That's my kid! The verse that I found is Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And oh my goodness. Just whenever you feel unloved, unported, or insecure, remember who you belong to.
Yeah.
Remember the fact that he sent his only son down here to die for you. And like Melanie says, and like Melanie, okay, Pastor Brian says it, but Melanie's the one that told us about it because we have yet not, well, maybe, no, I think I heard him say it at least once. But like his favorite thing is to like say like, would God trade like one thing that was not important for something that is so important? Like,
yeah,
he traded his first and only son for all of us. Let that sit with you, right, for a second.
Think about that.
Because it's like, you wouldn't trade 5 cookies for 1 Dorito chip. You wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
Especially if they're Addie's cookies. I'm not trading those for Dorito chip. I'm not.
No, those are mine. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. You can't have these. But yeah, no. I think that's where we'll stop for accepting ourselves. Let's go into accepting our circumstances. We'll open with another scripture from Romans 8:28. We know that God ceases to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for you. So consider the concept of acceptance and think about which aspects of your circumstances that you can accept And which do you find a little challenging to, you know, acknowledge and stuff? My nose is really stuffy, guys. Don't make fun of me, okay?
For real. Some things like that I can't accept and things I can't accept.
Yeah. Some things that you can accept and be like, this is what it is. But then these things are just a little trickier to settle down with.
I think that things are like, well, sure, things I don't think I really can accept from. I don't think I can accept the fact that, like, certain times in my life, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, like, man, like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes just, like, it's just, like, the negative thoughts just, like, are literally, like, breathing down my neck. And I'm sitting here, like, hi, I guess I'm going to give up things. Like, sometimes I was, like, I want to give up. This is it. Like, I've reached my limit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just, sometimes, like, I can't accept the fact that I will not always be able to get my way at certain things. Mm-hmm. I could want it so bad, but it doesn't matter if you want it sometimes. Like, that's life. You're gonna have to take that and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess something that I can accept is that I, like you said earlier, like, what the hell, like, being the best kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
There will usually be someone that is better than you, or better something you're doing, or like farther ahead of something that you're already trying to get. You're like, you're there and they're like, you're here, they're there, you know?
Yeah.
And at that point, it's like, you can't compare yourself to someone because you don't know what they've been doing. You don't know how long they've been doing something for.
Mm-hmm.
And you can know how long, I guess, but like, people pick up things at different times, different speeds. Like, instead, like, and I had to accept that because like, I used to do like so many different things trying to find what I was the best at. And it's just, at a point, it just gets like, it feels like a long losing game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so draining.
I think for me, one of the aspects that I can accept is, that like, relationships take building on both sides. I think specifically, like, for me, it's with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
and my dad. I think right now it's like, those are the two that are like really, really on my heart right now. And I'm just like, all right, I understand that if I want these relationships to change, I have to be more open to them.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the one thing I was just not willing to do. I did not want to have to, like, talk to my mom about, like, anything that goes on or talk to my dad at all.
Yeah.
But, like I said earlier, when Pastor Brian had preached over all the women, I was like, it's okay to forgive, like, your mothers. Because womanhood was taught from a mother and her group of friends and passed on to their daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the womanhood would be affirmed in public by the father. And I think because I didn't have a relationship with my father for so long that I just never felt, you know, like, I'm doing okay in this aspect, and like, in growing up. And like, there was such a disconnect between me and my mom. That I never felt like, I know my mom did as much as she could, but like, from my perspective, it was always like, you're never here, you, like, I feel like we never had a good relationship to start, because, like I said, I spent most of my early childhood with my aunt, and, because of that, I didn't feel like there was really enough bonding in that, like, really imperative time. And then by the time my mom did kick me, she had Asia,
mm-hmm.
like, later on that year, and I just felt like there was never a time for us to, like, truly get to know each other. And I know that comes from, like, my mom had me young, mm-hmm. and so it was just like, there's not much I could do. So I think accepting the fact that, like, if I want that relationship that I cried over for so much, I too have to put in work. It's not just on them. If I want a relationship with my mother, if I want a mother-daughter relationship, I have to, you know, be a daughter. And I think we're slowly getting there. We're taking the step to get there. But with my father, it's taking a little bit more. I do have to, like, lock in and, like, face it, you know? Yeah. Face it head on. Because it's just, like, rip the band-aid off. So I'll probably, like, send him a text or something.
Oh.
I think I'm gonna give him an olive branch and offer him some peace.
You're already 40 steps ahead of me. Yeah.
I said me. I said I might.
Don't quote me on that, actually.
Don't quote me on that. But yeah. So the next question is, do you trust that God is in control of your life, even in the difficult times? Why or why not?
I do believe he's in control of my life. Mm-hmm. I feel as if, like, no matter what has happened in my life, what I've gone through, or, like, I've always had something to rely on. I've always had something, someone to pray to or think about or talk to. Like, I'm the only child. So I had my mom, like, my whole life. And so at times, you know, you would have, like, when I was younger, I would just talk to him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just sit there and talk to him. And no matter what, like, I'd pray to him and I would talk to him about, like, what's going on in my life. And no matter what, I've always made it through everything that I thought was wrong with me, you know. Mm-hmm. And so regardless of the fact of if at this time I'm having a bad time, I do believe that he's always, like, in my corner, no matter what.
Yeah. I think I had a hard time believing that,
mm-hmm.
Especially with the past 7 years. It just felt like there was no structure, there was no person, but, like, I knew he was always there. I do believe that he put me and my family through what he did, just to kind of reassure me that even, like, yes, I went through a really rough time, but I made it out of it.
Yeah.
And, like, it just seemed to, like, kind of fall into place a bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause, like, especially, like, just going into high school, it was already kind of rough. There's just so much. I was upset with my mother because we kept moving. I kept having to change schools. I'm like, dude, I just want to stay in one school for the entirety of one period, please. Like, throughout elementary, I had, like, 5 different schools, one for each grade. And I was so upset. I'm like, dude, you're taking me from all my friends. I have to make friends every year. And it's like, dude. And then my mother's relationships would just be, like, on top of that. And I'm just like, I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. And then, like, I had suicidal thoughts during this time period. And I'm just like, there's just nothing that's going to make this right, ever. And this is all just, like, between 5th to early 9th grade. Like, COVID really just pushed me there. Mm-hmm. I was like, there's nothing I can do. I was, like, talking to older guys online and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for, like, literally any other, like, escape to get away from my home life. Because I felt like there was nothing that could be done for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, everything's going to keep changing anyway, which is why I'm so bad with change. So I'm like, please stop changing. Everything just keeps changing and I don't like that. But we're working on that. And I think my mom's marriage really, like, just was the icing on the cake. Yeah. And then the past 2 years was a cherry on top. Like, if all of my middle school years were just the cake layers, And my mom's marriage just was icing. In the past 2 years, I've just been a cherry on top. But I think right now, I'm just kind of learning to, like, push through it. Mm-hmm. Because I know that I'm gonna get through it.
Yeah.
Because he's gonna get me through it. He's putting me in the middle of a storm, but I know that this storm is gonna teach me a lesson that I need to learn, a hard truth that I need to hear. And yeah, I just think I can't live a life of purpose without, you know, learning what the purpose is.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's where I'm at with this. But yeah, I think now I'm going back on track, y'all. Now, like, during the past 7 years, I was like, there's no way that this man is, like, showing me anything. Like, he's not here. He's not here. He's not in this house, which he wasn't, because I don't think my mom, like, during out this time period was really, like, even being a praying woman. Mm-hmm. That woman was just gone. And then my stepfather, he was, I think, Christian Catholic. But yeah, no. Even then, like, I didn't see him go to church either. Mm-hmm. And then Jay, he doesn't do much. Like, but yeah, I think understanding that there's a purpose that he has for me, I just have to learn and understand it. Because he would implement, like, he implemented Sahara. Sahara was really what got me through, y'all. Like, for the entirety of that time period, like from 5th or 6th to 9th grade, I just was done. And then I got to 10th grade, I met Sahara. Sahara's family is just so awesome. I love them. They're like,
they are.
I love them. I remember the first time I opened up to Sahara's mom about my home life.
Mm-hmm.
And Sahara's mom gave me like the best hug on earth. And she made me cry. Like, I was really chilling until she gave me a hug. And then, like, she applies pressure to the spine when she's rubbing your back. And it just feels like everything just comes out.
Mm.
And it feels so awesome, dude. Like, you need to experience a Miss Evans hug at some point in your life, y'all. But yeah, like, even when I was going through my struggles with my faith,
mm-hmm.
he had people who were fighting for me anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I told Sahara, like, I gave my life back over to Christ. She, like, ran out of her room, and she was like, Nene gave her life back to Christ, to her whole family. And they're all like, yeah! And I'm like, oh my gosh, stop. Like, I'm about to cry. Like, y'all can't see me, but I am on the verge of tears.
That's how I felt when you were, like, really excited and we were in the church and, like, we're doing, like, the thing.
Yeah.
And you, like, jumped around and you gave me the big hug and I was like, man, this is no, really sweet. Like,
stop. And so I was like, no, because, like, I don't know what it is. I mean, I do know what it is. It's the Lord.
Yeah.
But it's, like, just having that kind of connection to someone, having a Christly connection with someone, is just 10 times stronger than any other connection for me right now.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know, I'm really glad. Like, I'm so serious. Like, you don't understand. The day that Melanie had brought it back up, I was like, I was just about to ask her that. Oh my gosh. She was like, so have you thought? Because, like, I was there for your gospel story.
Yeah.
And I was like, so have you put any thought into it recently? Like, do you know what your next step is going to be? And then she asked, and I was like, oh my gosh, y'all, like, Melanie's a mind reader. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so I was so happy, because you're like, yeah, no, I think I do. I just want to, like, collect myself really quick, you know, get these last few things in order and everything. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm chill on the outside, but on the inside I was super heated. I was like, yes, let's go, bro.
I was so excited to do it. And I was like, because I've just been waiting. I've been thinking about it, and I was like, I want to fully commit. Because I feel like for me, is like, committing to anything is very hard for me a lot of the time. And I know to, like, I don't want to be Christianish. I want to be a Christian, you know? A
dangerous Christian. Dangerous Christian. Here.
And so,
y'all will fear me.
I was just like, I knew I was ready. I feel like I didn't come in really and ask me. I was already kind of like, I was trying to figure out how to ask her, like, what's, like, the steps were, you know? Because I didn't fully actually completely understand it. So I was like, you know, what's, like, what we're doing after this, really?
Yeah.
You know? And I was really excited, and I was so happy that we got to do it this Sunday. Yeah, I was so excited.
No, like, y'all don't understand. When she says I was jumping, I was jumping. You know, like, I was, like, moving around. I was like, let's go. But yeah, no, it's so fun. I love this for us. I would say we're in our Christly era, but it's not an era. It's the truth. It's the walk. It's the journey that we will be taking for forever.